following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. With spring, it's time to freshen up your home and neutralize those old smells with a brand new Woodwick candle. Get in and check out all the fragrances like Beachfront Cottage, Bergamot and Basil, Clean Rain, Cool Linen, and countless others, all on sale right now. Mention Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, episode number 168. This time out, and it's been kind of fun here of late. We've talked a lot about the influence of the internet on things, and it's time to give that a rest, I think. One thing I did want to get into, though, was some interesting thought of the personality, the radio personality, the television personality, the cult of personality, if you will. There is a guy that is rather popular. His name is Alex Jones. He is the anchor and founder of InfoWars and other conspiracy theory minded type programming. Has a pretty good audience, you know. You say what you will about it. It is a business. It is it's a niche audience. However you want to get into it. It's got a stable fan base. Alex himself, you know, say what you will about the guy. He's not as dumb as you'd think. He's actually pretty smart, really, if you get down to it. He's created for himself this idea that he can say some pretty outlandish things because it comes from an outlandish individual. He's a bit nutty. He's a bit out there. And he's speaking the language, if you will, of the people that he knows are the fans. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how it works. And in all reality, he's not really that person. And that's what his attorneys have been arguing here of late. He's been in this custody battle at the time of the recording of this. I believe it's all been settled. It's all done. I'm not quite sure the outcome. Don't really care. It doesn't really have any value to me on that. But the idea here is that he was trying to win custody of his children. And his ex-wife was saying that, you know, he's just as crazy as he appears on the show. And the defense of this from his attorney, from Alex's attorney, was that this is all an act. What you see, what you hear is nothing more than an act. He is pandering, if you will, to his audience. And that's, you know, there's something to be said for that, sure. But now, that cat came out of the bag and his people are going, what? You mean that's not really him? That's an act? Well, to save face, Alex is, he's tried to say, it's just sarcasm, actually. And now he's turned around and he's saying, well, no, that's really me. He's trying to save face on all this whole thing. Be that as it may, he's trying to not kill the golden goose, as it were. It's a credibility factor at that. And that's what I kind of wanted to get into, because guys like him, and to a certain extent, most of us in this business, create a character that speaks to you. I know some of you are going, does that include you? To a certain extent, yes, it does. Granted, this show here from Radioland is a little more me than it is the guy that's on the air at Radio Memphis. So that, you know, that guy's a little more out there. But see, that's part of it. There's an exaggeration factor that comes into play. We exaggerate jokes. We exaggerate ideas. We push things a little bit to the limit. We don't talk like that in public, and certainly, we don't necessarily, you know, particularly care for it. We don't buy into it. I don't buy into my own bullshit. That's the big problem. Radio personalities who have developed this cult of personality are people that are able to successfully separate the two. Prime example. Howard Stern is a great guy, very talented dude. I have a lot of respect for what the man's done over the years. Brilliant career. What you hear on that show is not necessarily the real Howard Stern. If he was your next door neighbor, that wouldn't be the guy that you would see, you know, hauling the garbage out to the street, assuming he does that. He's not like that at all. He doesn't necessarily like to even talk to too many people, because the Howard Stern you hear on the air is where that's where his bread and butter comes from. And that's perfectly legit. And he doesn't even buy into his own shtick. And that becomes the problem. When personalities buy into their own stuff, then there is going to be trouble. Look at Alex Jones. Look what he did. He basically, he just shit on himself. You're going to see a bit of a town turn to him. Now, granted, a good number of his fans are going to say no matter what, they'll stand by him. That's great. There's something for everybody out there. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that at all. As long as the rest of the audience has an idea that, okay, what this guy is saying, he's saying specifically to push certain buttons. Another guy that has been problematic are people like Rush Limbaugh, because he actually kind of buys into his own stuff. There was a running gag in the industry for many years, and I think probably to a certain extent, I don't run in those circles anymore, but amongst some of the AM guys, was that Rush was actually not a Republican, but in fact a hardcore Democrat, but he went the way of conservative radio because he knew how to push those buttons and push them to his own benefit. It's the same thing with Alex Jones. He knows which buttons to push and how to push them. Is he a kind of a weird cat off the air? I don't know. I've never met the guy. He could be a lovely human being. He could also be a gigantic asshole. But if you meet him in person, I have a sneaking suspicion that he, around his fans, he's going to turn on that personality. He's going to turn on that guy that you listen to, because he knows that when you meet him, you are there to meet that thing that appears on your device. That's what that's for. That's how that happens. The cult of personality issue is quite strong, and what has now happened is, because of the availability of people to do shows like this podcast, not this particular one, but to do podcasting. To be a podcaster, I should say, or a broadcaster if you're lucky enough to get into a live broadcast situation. Either way, once you are in those positions and you turn that switch on and that person comes to life on the air, you know that you're going to have a few fans that when you meet them, they're going to expect that from you when that happens. And that's all well and good. Outside of that circle is when that real person, that human being that portrays that character, becomes much more private. I have learned that most of us in this business are people that are basically introverts. It's an interesting thing to think about, but yes, that's why I'm able to sit here in the privacy of Studio A with nothing to bother me, no feedback from anybody else, and understand that this is me having a conversation. A one-sided conversation, mind you. Granted, yeah, you can write in and comment all you want. Oh, Rick, I don't like what you said about this, or I like this, or it's what it is. It's a horrible use of that term right there, but still, the idea that once you create this person and you turn them loose across the media for your benefit as an audience member, is that's the tits, man. That's where it's at. Man, I like what this guy says because I feel like he's speaking to me. That's the goal. That's the whole goal here. We like this. Or the opposite effect. Man, I really hate what that guy says. Man, I think he's full of shit. But man, I got to hear him all the time because I got to keep my eye on him. There's some trouble happening here. I've gotten to be on both sides of that fence. And it's fun. It really is. For guys like me, we sort of enjoy that. But, you know, I'm fortunate that that personality that and it's kind of hard for me to talk about that because it's not. This is where me as that human being, not the person that's on the air, is coming out. It's a little difficult for me to actually use myself an example, but that's the only way I know how to do this because I'm not in somebody else's skin. But for me, yeah, I'm a bit of an introvert. I don't like to go out in public that often. When I do, it is it's for a bit. I'm usually with some friends. There's a comfort factor there. You know, that's that whole thing about I don't like people. It's not entirely accurate. I like some people. I like individuals, but large groups of people, that's when things get dangerous. And that's where I don't necessarily want to be all around that. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And that's why when I'm in a position where I have to make an appearance in front of a large crowd, or if I'm doing something on a professional level that's going to require me to be on stage in front of an audience, I don't mind doing that because I can rely on that person that does the show to do that work.
Sound sick, bro. Sound like you got something going on in there. Think you need to go see a head shrinker.
It's not necessarily that case, but in a way it is. That's why I have said for years on this show that those of us in the industry of broadcast or show business, for that matter, are kind of sick people. Not necessarily in a bad way, but we're just not. You could say we're maladjusted. My own therapist had told me in the past, he said, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a little twisted, but you're fine. You'll be okay. You're not a threat to anybody. You're not a threat to yourself. That's all I care about. That's all he says. Go forth. Live your life. Be fine. Be well. And the only time that I will deal with such large crowds and things like that is when I know that I've got an in and an out. I know how I can get in. I know what's expected of me at that time. I do what is expected, and then I've got an out, and it's usually a clock that's running, and then out the door I go, and it sounds, I can get it that people hearing that would probably think, well, that's kind of selfish or self-centered or egotistical, but it's not. I was going to say privacy, but it's not. It's a comfort issue. Being comfortable is part of that. Doing what I do sometimes is not very comfortable for me personally. This is a first world problem, and it can seem that way. I mean, I did one of the first episodes I did years and years ago with the show. Years and years ago. Dude, it's been 168 weeks. Was the fear of public speaking. If you search for it through this podcast, you'll find it. And it's, I talked about my fear of public speaking and overcoming that. Hiding in a studio, to me, is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful experience. I can sit here and have a free run of conscious thought, spill my mind, and let it go without editing, the dead spots out of it or the ums or the ahs that some podcasters go crazy for that. So you just do what you do. Everybody's different. But I don't necessarily have that fear of public speaking in this environment, mainly because I don't necessarily, it's not because I don't necessarily see you. I know that you're there, but it's a little different. It's hard to describe. It does come back around when I'm out somewhere and somebody comes to me and go, hey, I heard that show you did about blah, blah, blah. And that was, that was just, and all of a sudden, especially if I'm just like, if I'm at a grocery store or somewhere and I'm getting a few things and I'm not really expecting to have that encounter, that's when things get a little like, oh, shit, and I'm thinking in my head all of a sudden, am I projecting the appearance that I need to project? You find yourself carrying your business with you wherever it is that you go. And it's just an additional thought process for people like us. And we go through it. And, my colleagues that are in the business, the people that I deal with routinely, not just at Radio Memphis, but elsewhere outside of the market, people that are in the industry, people that listen to this show, some friends of mine that are in the industry that we talk about these kinds of things. They understand this because they all feel the same way. They would prefer the ability to be, in a dark spot and not gazed upon. But at the same time, we have to have that because that's the nature of the business that we work in. famously shy people wind up in this business for whatever reason that is. Granted, actors in general, like film actors or television actors, they're exact opposite. They have this craving for that adulation. They have this craving for that. It's not quite the look at me type vibe, but it's still there. That's why if you ever go to, you know, spend any time in L.A. or Hollywood or wherever around famous people, you'll often see them out there, and they dig it when you walk up to them sometimes. They don't try and hide that fact that they are, well, I'm not who you think I am. I mean, that's just because they want that. They almost have to crave it. Once again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's sort of the beauty behind it. They have embraced the industry that they have embraced. And that's part of it. Well, you know, you chose this job. You can't complain about those kind of things. Make no mistake, I'm not complaining. What I'm trying to do is explain how this works psychologically from my point of view. So back to Alex Jones. Here you've got a guy who's actually quite smart. He goes on the air. He goes on these rants of this made-up crap and bullshit and all this political wrangling and just really pushing those buttons and working that audience up into a lather. And he's done such an effective job of it that this person now is really more dominant than the person that was that created it. And it's the same individual. The problem is when the human being, the real one, has to live up to those expectations, things go horribly wrong. And it happens all the time. Quite famously, one of my favorite authors in the world, Hunter Thompson, say what you will about the guy. He was one of those guys that inadvertently created a persona based upon himself that was impossible to live up to. And he attempted to do so. And it basically killed him. And I'm, you know, if you've ever read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, I'm not talking about the movie. The movie was fine. But the book and the character that he created is Raoul Duke. When you understand who Duke was, and this, that's the fiction of it. No one can live like that. But it was such an impactful bit of work that character was so prominent and real and personified in this man, in Thompson, that when people physically met Thompson, they expected Duke. Dr. Gonzo. So not wanting to disappoint, Thompson attempted to live his life like that. And to a certain extent, he did. It's a hell of a way to live. I don't know that there's much happiness in that, but at the same time, that's part of what the end result is in creating something like that. It's a very different world. Some of you may have, you know, obviously there's a lot of you out there that have, you know, very different jobs than what I do, but, you know, like some of you may have, you might be a doctor. Now, a doctor is one of those things that you carry with you wherever you go as that person. I'm John Smith. I'm a doctor. I'm at a restaurant. I'm still a doctor. I still like to have fun. I go to movies, but I'm still this doctor. Oh my goodness, madam, you're choking. Allow me to perform the Heimlich maneuver on you. It's that thing. But there's not a personality quirk that goes with it. It's the knowledge that's based in the line of work that you do. Whereas over here, things are a little different. The spotlight's on you a few times and you gotta deal with it. You gotta put up with it. And that's why I'm sort of amused when I find out that, especially when you're, and not like I mentioned, you know, everybody's got access to the medium of the internet. Everybody can be a broadcaster. Everybody can be a television star now. Everybody can have a podcast. But they're creating things that they cannot live up to a lot of times. Or they're creating things that they could never achieve or actually be believable with. That's the hard part. And it points back to something rather simple. Yep, we're pretty sick. We're a pretty twisted bunch of people. And as time, the longer you do it, as time goes on and the more that you do this, you know, you feel that sometimes the lines do get blurred between what is real and what isn't. And such as it is, I found when it happens to me, and it does, it happens to every one of us. When it does happen, one of the things that I've learned to do is start relying on the reality of who I am. And instead of relying on this goofy character that's on the air, because that's, you know, that'll only carry you so far. It's, you know, being an actor is one thing. Being a personality is a completely different thing. And when the personality, which of course is based on the real deal, don't create something so opposite, so different that you can never, ever live up to it. It can cause problems. It really can. And, you know, it can make other people miserable around you, too. I know this. My lovely wife puts up with so much. She somehow has to put up with so much of this. She's amused by it. You know, there'll be times where we'll be going to places and I don't necessarily want to go, because I would rather be at home. I don't necessarily want to go out into the public thing. And it's not fair to her for me to go, I'm not going. I've tried to play that card before, but you know, she knows how to get around it. She'll say, there's beer there. There'll be a bar. Okay, let's go. I know that I get a couple of drinks in me and I can relax and not worry.
Sounds like you got a problem, bro. It's like a crutch. You should be drinking on a crutch.
Shut up. The reason why I drink is because of you people. I kid, of course. It's and at that point, then you can kind of turn it on and give strangers kind of what they want once they understand who you are and what you're doing. And I'm not, and I'll say this again, and I can't say it enough, that I'm not being petty by any means. And this is certainly not a complaint. It's maybe for you to understand a little bit about the people that you hear on the air. This is the root of it. The people that you hear on the air or see on television are not the people that you would possibly recognize or even like. It goes back to, in a certain extent, meeting one's heroes. There are several people who are in this business, in the business of show business, that are very well-known individuals, that I really admire their work. But there's that fear that if I do meet them, they're gonna be like real assholes and stuff, and I don't know that I want to do that. I don't want to shoot down my own I've put these people on somewhat of a pedestal. I don't want that knocked out. And I know it's not necessarily healthy to do that sort of thing, but still, you can't help it. You have a lot of admiration for people that do certain things, that their work is something that makes you happy, makes you happy. That's what makes you a fan. And when you go to meet them and you find out the guy's a complete dick. Now, look, I'm certainly as guilty of it as the next human being as well. There's been times where I've thrown a fit in public because I didn't particularly like the way things were going. I try to keep that shit down to a minimum, but I'm a human being. You know, your buttons get pushed to a certain extent. It's like, God damn it, I don't want to deal with this. But you do. You make the best of it and you go along. So, speaking from a person who created the person that's on the air, I will tell you this, that if we ever meet and I appear to be rude, please accept my apologies now. It's not that. It really isn't. I try not to be, and I try to be very conscious of that. Or if, you know, because that does happen. There's always going to be somebody you're never going to please. You're going to find it'll come back to you. So, man, yeah, I met that Rick Cheddar guy. He's kind of an asshole. He was really barking about us. You know, hey, there's some of us have bad days too, or we're not up to dealing with some of the things that we're asked to deal with. But you just do it. So, understand that. Guys like myself or the other people that you hear, like this Alex Jones character, he's in a very unfortunate position. I wish him the best of luck. I don't particularly care for what he does. You have to respect the guy, though, but for what he does. And yeah, he goes on these crazy rants and stuff, but that's part of his work. That's what he does. You don't have to like it. You just have to understand why he does it. But he has now crossed a very interesting threshold, because it's affected his private life so much that he's actually going to lose custody of his children, or potentially lose custody over his children. Over what? Over the fact that he is this thing, that this thing has taken over his life? Because sometime, it happens to every one of us, there comes a point when you take the headphones off for the very last time, you turn the microphone off for the very last time, and you're done, and you walk away from it. And now you have to reconcile. That thing that you turned loose out on the air, is it still alive or is it dead too? Or is it the same guy that's sitting in the chair who's still bitching about everything happening in the world?
You can now learn guitar in a structured manner online and do it at your pace. From absolute beginners to advanced players, the New York City Guitar School can get you on the right path on guitar proficiency for less than $30 a month. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com and get started today. And right now, there's even a free course called Guitar Hacks for Beginners you can take to see if this course is even right for you. Look at their ad at radio-memphis.com right now and get started.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
You know, there has to be more on this. So naturally, I took to the internet. I actually devoted time to this whole thing about MommyCon. And I'm looking at their website right now. And of course, it's a bunch of mothers and stuff. Now, there is a picture of a guy who's got a baby on him. And he's... But you could tell by this picture, he's trying to muster up the... He's putting a face on as though he wants to be there, you see. But you know deep down inside, he has become the shell of a human being that he once was. Because his wife has dragged his poor ass to this convention. And all he's interested in is looking at some boobs, maybe, or where's the bar.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, Player.fm, Stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
One of the most genuine types of people you ever meet are musicians, because they tend to be pretty much the same way every time you meet them. You know, they're happy-go-lucky cats, man, and they got a thing, and they dig in, and they have a great time with it. And I have a lot of respect for that kind of talent. Here's a cat that we're going to play for you, a tune here. A guy that I've met numerous occasions, both on air and off air. I've watched him perform. He is just an absolute gem of a talent, wonderful human being, and an absolute consummate pro. Everybody I've ever talked to about him have all said the same thing, that he's just a great guy to have around. He ought to be, because he shows up on a lot of records. I'm talking about a little blues here. A cat by the name of Brandon Santini. Brandon is... One of the best harmonica people that I've ever heard. He's on my list of some of the best that's out there, and he's constantly working. Him and the band are out on the road all the time. They do some great stuff, and they have a lot of fun. And not too terribly long ago, Brandon and the band went up to Canada. I believe it was Montreal, and while they were there, they did a few shows over there and recorded them and cobbled together the live and extended album, I believe, up in Montreal. And it's some really, really good stuff. You want to hear what it sounds like to have some fun, I'm going to play it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Brandon Santini. The song is called Elevate Me Mama. It's a live recording, and here it is from Radioland.
Elevate me, mama. A woman, I'm about 5 or 6 floors on down. Elevate me, mama. A woman, I'm about 5 or 6 floors on down. Yes, you know everybody they tell you are the elevatedest woman in town. I buzzed your bell this morning, baby, had your elevator running slow. I buzzed your bell 2 times, little girl, gonna take my way way up to the 14th floor. Elevate me, mama. A woman I'm about five or six floors on down. Yes, you know everybody, they tell me you are the elevatedest woman in town. You know what I mean, man.
Occurred to me while going through that, I think we just set an interesting record here, only 168 weeks in. That's the first live recording we've got when we play a music. That's Brandon Santini, Elevate Me Mama. Great song. It's a good time, fun stuff. We play it on a show called the Booze and Blues Show, which you can hear Sunday nights at Radio Memphis, 8 p.m. Central. Jeff Janowitz and myself usually go through about 3 hours of good blues, and usually most nights we've got somebody in our studio We have a good time with that most nights. We have a live act, and we don't get to play too many records because of it, but we have a great time nonetheless. We get to spend some good quality time with some good people like musicians. And you know, musicians are an interesting bunch because they're different. They think different than you and I. They're in show business, and that's part of it. It's what we've been talking about this entire episode, is that the show business people are very different people. On stage is one thing. Off stage, I don't know. You're not wanting to be friends with these people. And I'm talking about myself included, not necessarily. I don't know. I mean, I have my friends too, but still, before I dig myself a deeper hole and become any more further embarrassed than what I already am, I'm going to wrap it up. How about that? You've already heard what's coming up next time on the program. Until then, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For Christ's sake, stop shooting each other, will you? We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.